So if you can believe this, with all the stats, I forgot one thing I wanted to mention. Over the first 29 weeks of the year, we had 494 sales, and 10 that sold were under a million. Three of those 10 were on the leased land, which I usually take out because it's not fee simple. So 7 fee simple homes sold under $1 million for the first 29 weeks of the year. And that's for the week ending July 18th, 2025. So 7 out of 494, you do the math on that. Before I get into what a buyer has to do today to even look at a house, I do want to mention that I finally tried Rossi Pizza on West Montecito Street, and I liked it. It's a New York-style pizza. It's huge. And I got the pepperoni, and it is the spiciest pepperoni I ever had, which I really enjoyed. And I'm glad I got it. My next pizza, I'm just going to get cheese. It goes back to my buddy Danny Cohn and I. We had this adage when we were kids, you know, teenagers, young teenagers. The true test of a pizza is you have a slice of cheese. And if you love it, it's good pizza because you're focusing on the sauce, the dough, quality of cheese. So I thoroughly enjoyed the pepperoni pizza, but you got to like spicy pepperoni. I never knew they made it. Rossi Pizza on West Montecito Street. I'll be back. And last week, the live program, July 14th, I meant to mention, we had the historian on, and I meant to mention that it would have been the birthday of Crystal Duncan. She would have been 97. She died just a few years ago. I mean, a few months ago. A couple of months ago. Very, very... just a character. I met her because I knew Marilyn Senegals, who lived across the street. And I met Marilyn, like, maybe in 1999, because she started listening to the radio program. She would call in. Used to get a lot of callers back then. And I met her and visited with her in Summerlin. So then I met the neighbor across the street. She introduced me, Marilyn introduced me to the Pacific Legal Foundation, who had become regular guests. As she passed away around 2012. And she left a lot of money to the Pacific Legal Foundation and to a dog animal place in Midwest. Anyway, she left the house to the neighbor across the street, Crystal Duncan. Some of you might know the name Duncan. I think she was married to a cop. Crystal gave me Marilyn's gorgeous antique dining room table with 6 chairs, an antique dresser, a living room end table, a coat rack. And she was a German lady, and she told me that she was maybe from Prussia, and she remembered the Germans coming and took their home. And she actually married a GI, came here, and then they divorced. Anyway, I recently found some photos that I took from Marilyn's house, and I texted them to Crystal's helper, who was a live-in, and he had a cell phone. She didn't. And then he replied that she passed away about a month before. So anyway, Crystal Duncan, she was, if you knew her, she was a character. And so we'll miss her. Oh, and then earlier in the year, I went to visit her, and she gave me her father's coat from the 1960s, and it might have been from Germany. And it was this full-length coat down to my calves with this leather. It just looks bizarre. It comes with one of those hats. It's just, it's a classic. Okay. Exclusive buyer representation agreement, also known as a buyer broker agreement. Now, these have been around forever, and there have been some real estate agents, Mort Maeslisch for one that I know of, that always use them. You meet a buyer, you want to have some kind of an agreement. I would say he was the exception to the rule. I don't know how many agents use these over the years, but certainly I think a small minority. So in, what is it, August of 2024, a new agreement came about, a settlement agreement with the National Association of Realtors with some lawsuits. A lot of people feel they didn't fight it strong enough. A lot of people feel if the original lawsuit started in California, it never would have gotten any traction because California already has so many safeguards and disclosures to buyers. A buyer or seller couldn't claim, gee, we didn't realize that the commission was being paid to the buyer. You couldn't make that argument in California. So this big settlement says that sellers, if they list their house and it goes into MLS, they can't offer a commission to the buyer's agent. So this is coming up on 2 years. No, coming up on 1 year, August 2025. So you would have a buyer, you would call the listing agent and you would say, is the seller cooperating? Because in the listing agreement, there were forms where the seller could say, I'd consider paying a commission to the buyer's agent. Buyer's agent might be working with a buyer for a year or more. I sold a house a few years ago. I worked with a guy I sold a house in January of 2024. I worked with him. I met him in 2014. They didn't come up all the time. They lived in L.A., but I sent them. We dialogued. They'd come up occasionally. I'd show them. We wrote some offers, and I didn't think about it. Either it would work or it didn't work. It's fine, but I knew I would get a commission if they bought a house because that's the way it was in MLS. Now you don't know that. Now you have to have the conversation with the buyer and say, you have to pay me a commission. I will ask for the seller to pay the commission, in which case you won't owe anything. If you agree to pay me 2.5%, I'll ask for 2.5%. If the seller pays 2.5%, you don't owe me anything. But you need to now get this signed in writing. Now, what's going to happen in the next 5 years with commissions and 10 years? Will this change the business model? It might. It might. Will it lower commissions? It might. I don't know. It really hasn't so far, if that was the goal. I don't know what the goal was. It's kind of confusing. A seller always had the right not to offer X percent to the buyer's agent. They didn't have to offer 2.5. It evolved at the 5% commission, 2.5, 2.5. Some agents might have gotten a 6% commission and said, well, let's offer 2.5. I'll take 3.5 or any variation thereof. It was always negotiable, but honestly, of course, it was kind of not expected, but well, it was expected. It was kind of like, you know, it's the way we do things. So we'll see what happens in the long run. So far, not a big upending, but now, even this is beyond brokers' policy. California law states that an agent, a real estate agent, whether or not he's a realtor, member of the National Association of Realtors, he has to, how quickly did I say member of the National Association of Realtors there? You have to have an agreement signed by the buyer. They want the buyer to get documents up front. Now, my office, you know, you have an exclusive buyer representation agreement, and they made a very simple 2-page one. It's like, hey, here's me, here's you. We're going to show you this property. Could just name one property. It could also be for a period of time with multiple properties. And it says that the buyer agrees to pay broker X percent. However, any services, any compensation that the broker receives from the seller shall be credited against what the buyer owes to the broker. I already said that. A broker may not receive compensation from any source that exceeds the amount of rate indicated above. And there's a part of the form that says seller is authorized to incorporate request in buyer's offer. So you go to the buyer, you call me up, you want to look at some property. You want me to represent you. Well, what if you don't know me? You just met me. you have to sign something with me. I don't know. You don't know me. You're going to obligate yourself to work with me and pay me a commission? Well, how about if we just, you don't know me, we can get to know each other. You got to sell yourself just like you sell a potential seller who wants to list the property. You got to sell yourself to the buyer if you're complete strangers. And you can just say, well, look, how about just for this one house? Presumably they're talking to you. I mean, you get floor calls, you get ad calls, people don't know you. It's just kind of spontaneous. In the old days, you go, sure, I'll show it to you. You have no loyalty to the buyer. The buyer might buy the house from someone else the next day or another house. Or, you know, you might show them property for months and you get nothing out of it. So now, exclusive buyer representation agreement, California Association of Realtors has a form. Berkshire Hathaway has their own form, simpler, shorter. This is so intimidating. It's like, my God, it's like I'm writing an offer. I just want to see the house. I met a buyer from a listing I had, and they told me they spoke to the listing agent directly, wanting to see his listing. And that's a different set of rules. I don't want to quote you because it's complicated, but there is a different set of rules if you're the listing agent. But this listing agent, I know him, he's good, and he's a stickler. And he wasn't going to show his own listing without something being signed. And the buyer was from out of town, wasn't familiar, didn't want to do it. Now that's, I would have done it. And the fact is, I showed a house the other day without having this signed. I guess I could be sued now. Maybe I could lose my license or fined. I don't know what the penalty is, but I showed a house with a buyer that I had met at my own listing a while back, just by chance. He happened to just drive by. He saw it in MLS and he went to drive by and I happened to be there. So I've been connecting with him, sending him things. And I showed him this house. I sent him this documentation and said we should talk about it, but we still haven't talked about it. So I don't know how well-versed he is on this and what his feelings are about this. But it's literally, you're not supposed to show a house, California law, without the buyer. So there's a lot of different things you can write in, but you're supposed to also show him the agency form, what a buyer's agent is, what a seller's agent is, and what a dual agent is. Now, you're not confirming agency. You just want to tell the buyer. And it's always been the law that as soon as possible, you should give the agency disclosure to a prospective buyer and seller. And when you take a listing or you write an offer, the first page is the agency disclosure. So that's got to be the first thing you give somebody. And the law has always been give it to them as soon as practical. So if you like, maybe you meet a buyer. Well, back in the old days when you didn't have to have them sign a buyer broker, and you met a buyer and you chatted, you maybe the second time you meet him, you go, hey, I just want to have you, you know, give you this form. It doesn't mean anything. We're not agreeing to anything. Just acknowledge that I gave you this form. So they could read the differences in what a buyer's agent is, what a seller agent is, what a dual agent is. So now, California law, buyer wants to look at a house, you got to have them sign something. So you get the buyer broker form, or it's called an exclusive buyer representation agreement, but you got to give them the agency. So now you have two forms, the agency disclosure. And my broker also requires a broker's compensation advisory. That's two pages that talks about broker compensation. Oh, and then let's give them the other form, possible representation more than one buyer, more than one seller. And these are all the results of lawsuits, right? You get sued, you go, okay, let's make this form. You get sued another time, let's make this form. Possible more than one buyer and seller. So you meet a real estate agent and they show you a property or they start showing you property or you list their house with you. Do you understand that it's possible that that agent might have another buyer, might have another seller, or more to the point, the broker will have another buyer, another seller? you would think, well, that's obvious. I mean, obviously, it's not like, you go to a doctor has other patients. You go to a lawyer has other clients. So we have a disclosure, more than one buyer, more than one seller. And then we got to sign mediation. So now we have four documents just to look at a property. You put down the buyer agrees to pay the broker X percent, and the buyer is an all-cash buyer. He's got deep pockets. He goes, all right, yeah, no problem. What if the buyer is just barely getting in by the skin of his teeth? Hey, you got to have this conversation. I'm pretty sure what's been happening 99% of the time, the seller is still agreeing to pay the buyer's commission. But it's a sticky wicket. It's a sticky wicket. You know, I'm all for a change. It's so complicated why this agreement came about. Like I said, in California, people always had a choice. There are discount brokers. There are, people that don't want any representation. Maybe they just want to go directly to the listing agent. But then you get the dual agency, and then it's kind of a headache. I'd rather have the agent represented by the buyer represented by another agent. So I don't know how long I've been talking about this, but it's complicated. It's complicated. And I'm going to see how it goes with this buyer. We're going to have this conversation. Over the course of my career, I think I've represented more buyers and sellers, although the last couple of years, it's only been sellers. So we'll see how this evolves. I'm, 69 years old, so this might not be as impactful to me as it is to someone else. Now, I also brought an offer, but that might be its own segment. I don't know if I'll have time in segment three to do it, but let's go and call this segment two and keep track of what we're doing. I will tell you that I had mentioned to you about my fighting weeds. You know what? I'll tell you that when I return. Got another call from a listener, Weed Killer Bob. He's that's what he told me his name was, Weed Killer Bob. So he followed up because he heard me mention something else, and I contacted the company that I bought the ortho sprayer, and I'm killing weeds without Roundup. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.